Hello, Dreamers. This is Janine.
And Stephanie.
And welcome to The Course of Course, episode 38. It's been a few weeks, actually, because Stephanie was on her excellent adventure, like kind of a birthday slash visiting your
family,
mom and then going up to New York. So fill us all in, because we're all fascinated by how your vacation went.
It was, overall, it was euphoric and relaxing. It was wonderful. But when I was there, I woke up in the middle of the night and couldn't go back to sleep. So I put on my Course in Miracles audio, and it's, of course, queued up right to the part I need to hear.
Absolutely.
So I thank the Holy Spirit for always guiding me through my journey, but it was talking about a gap, the gap. And I always think of Mind the Gap from when
Mind the Gap
we
from
lived
the London subway.
In London, yeah. And it was talking about how when there's a gap and we think of people as less than whole, like as being sick, it was specifically talking about sickness. And of course, I have immediately people that pop to mind, family members, friends, etc. I think, oh yeah, these are the people that are sick in my mind that are always in my mind. And as long as I have them in my mind as being sick, I am sick. And so I really got that I need to try and retrain my thoughts that they are whole and just fine no matter how they show up.
And you know what? We get that, but yet it's a whole different thing when we're in it, when we're in the experience, when we're kind of being pushed by somebody. I know for me, I can say over and over again that, you know, I've created all this and it's all my thing, but I still have moments. I shouldn't even say moments. I still a string of days, actually, mm-hmm. where I get lost. I get lost in it and then I have to pull myself out of it, but I'm not yet quick enough to be able to do that on the spot.
It's interesting that you mentioned days go by and you get lost, because I did feel that I was in a relaxed euphoric state, something different than I normally am, and it was really wonderful. As soon as I came back into LA and started back at work, I felt so much anxiety and stress. I didn't know how to be with it. I mean, I felt disconnected to my source, and it was very unsettling.
At least for me, I feel like I beat myself up, because mm-hmm. once I pull out of it, it's like, what did you do?
Mm-hmm.
And then I feel like, well, I'm not a very good course student, because here I go again. So I have to go through the process of forgiving myself and forgiving the situation that just unfolded in front of me, and then being like, it's okay, and getting frustrated again because I can't seem to get it.
Yeah, one thing I realized coming back from this blissful state is how much I attack myself. I hear and read the word attack a lot in the course. I never think of myself as attacking other people. I have no beef with anyone, but I really became present in the space of one extreme to this other extreme of how much my ego is always attacking me, and it's pretty horrifying.
Like examples of how this is manifesting.
Well, some of it is part of the have to do. For instance, I come home from from a vacation at 8:30, which is 11:30 Eastern, and all of a sudden I have to clean my house because someone's coming over the next night who's visiting from out of town. I'm vacuuming, I'm doing the sheets, I'm scrubbing the toilets in the bathroom because it looks disgusting after not being there. It's pretty crazy how much your house can get dirty in less than a week from being gone, but it does. And just feeling like I had to do that. So all of a sudden it's 4:30 in the morning, like East Coast body clock time, and I'm thinking I need to go to bed. But the ego is constantly telling me what I have to do. And it does give me a level of peace to have this settled and clean. So there is a reward, but it's also freaking crazy to think that I have to go through all that. It's just crazy. And that's what I kind of realize, is that my ego is constantly attacking me and trying to keep me separate and in this domain instead of in more of a peaceful, silent, everything's going to be fine, I can walk away from it. Therefore, I created this little sign. I kind of updated my post-it campaign in the house to, none of this is real. Keep giving it over to HSJ.
That's actually good. I need to make a little sign for myself.
And then the next one I thought of is that I'm whole, like W-H-O-L-E, and I'm holy, H-O-L-Y. So when I woke up at 3 in the morning and started listening to the course, it was part of the gap is that as long as there's a gap, you're not whole. And I want to try and reprogram my thoughts to be like, no matter how people appear and show up, no matter what drama is going on in front of me, it doesn't matter. It isn't real. We're not bodies. We are whole. We are oneness, and go back to the oneness. And the ego wants to fight always to hold on to its reality. I feel like I'm in a transition. I mean, we went from being outside at the garden every night to now it's dark at 5 o'clock. So right. There's also a natural transition happening this week.
There's so much going on with the course. We had talked previously that you and I are starting to read more of the course proper as opposed to just like taking in the lessons.
Yeah.
Because the course itself is actually really comforting, but I have to get into like the mind space of saying, you know what, I'm going to open the course right now. Usually I'm, okay, what's my lesson? What was my lesson today? It became very much like a calendar. Like, well, today is Tuesday, so it must be lesson 301. But when you open up the course, and we both listened to the audio of it, but there's something really pleasing about opening up the actual book, like a physical book, because to me, it feels like when I was a young girl and I had the Bible in my hand, it's something about the pages, the lightness of the pages, and the way it felt in my hand. I find it very comforting.
I find it very comforting even to listen to the text in the car. I did literally think to myself several times this week, "Is this is my Bible." It's kind of funny.
Well, there's been a lot in the news lately about the Church of Scientology, because I think one of the actresses came out with a book and she was talking about it. And we were discussing how, from a course perspective, it feels so real and genuine. But there are many, I guess I would call it religions, that seem to be more cult-like. And what I enjoy about the course is it never asks for money. You don't have to pay anybody to like ascend through the course lessons.
Mm-hmm.
It's a self-study.
It's very personal.
Yes.
Therefore, me waking up at 3 a.m. and it being queued up to the exact moment that I need to hear to deal with people in my life, like it, I am guided. We are guided individually.
Yeah,
even though we are all one, you know?
Correct.
Yeah.
I feel like there's so much more freedom with this that it doesn't feel all that dogmatic. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of religions can be. So I was trying to explain the course because I struggle sometimes, honestly, about outing myself to certain people that I'm a course student, because for some reason I still feel that judgment that's going to come down on me when I say, oh, I'm a course student. I, you know, because the name of it, A Course in Miracles, just seems a little nutty, frankly. Well, I studied The Course in Miracles. What does that mean? You know? So I'm dealing with that ego issue, along with trying to get more people kind of exposed to the course. I'm not forcing them to do anything, but at least for us, I think it was really helpful to be exposed to it. Even when we were back in Virginia, and it was years ago, when we weren't ready for it,
mm-hmm.
and we were sort of exposed through Marianne Williamson's books,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
But now when I talk about it, I feel like I want to scream it from the rooftop, but I also mm-hmm. have the exact opposite reaction. I want to keep it for myself. It's this strange thing, like I'm still working through that, and I don't know what that's about necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it's because I'm worried about judgment from other people,
mm-hmm.
which is probably kind of like at the base of it. But I'm very proud of being a course student. Mm. I feel so privileged to have the course in my life.
Grateful.
But I'm still struggling yeah. with kind of incorporating it with my other like friends and family. I came from a very Catholic religious background. So it's like that thing, like Mike Lemieux talks about this, you know, growing up Catholic and having to deal with kind of, I don't know, the cognitive dissonance between a dogmatic religion like Catholicism and the course.
Mm.
Because the course to me is so pure and so automatically identifiable as something that makes sense, where I never felt that way with, you know, the traditional Christian Bible and Catholicism. But I'm still having kind of an issue with outing myself.
How to share it.
Yeah. But you're pretty open with that. You share with anybody. You would share it with somebody on the street corner.
I would.
Yeah.
I think having our own examples helps.
Like, yeah.
Like how the relationship with my current boss shifted, which never would have happened if it hadn't been for picking up DU. But not everyone's into reading DU.
But we know people who have read DU and haven't had the same reaction. Like when we read it, it was like mm-hmm. it changed our life.
Mm-hmm.
But a few people that we know have read it and were like, oh, it's nice. You know what I mean? Like, it didn't hit them like it hit us.
Yeah, I think I just have to believe that everything is planned, everything's scripted, everything's gonna be fine. Like, I'm trying to jump to, like, I'm already in heaven, I'm already awake, and this is all over.
That's the one thing I do is when I have a bad day or something's happening, I do now say, you know what, this isn't real. This is just, I'm dreaming a dream, and it's not all that pleasant, but I'm going to wake up, and it's cool. That keeps me going, honestly, especially when I have a tough day at work or, you know, an issue with family member or whatever. It's like, this doesn't exist. It's okay.
One thing I noticed being away from my normal routine when I was on vacation for only a week is how separated I did feel from the course, and how when I came back, I felt anxiety and just not my normal self. So I wanted to get back onto a routine.
Why were you separated from the course when you were on holiday?
Because I wasn't in my home. I wasn't in my regular schedule. So it's like, I'm now doing things with other people. I'm in someone else's house. When am I going to shut the door and do my thing? Like, it's just awkward.
Is your mom reading the course at all?
No.
Okay.
No. She's had DU for over a decade.
Interesting. She's haven't yet been interested enough to read it.
Yeah, I mean, she's picked it up a couple times.
But as we know, you have to be ready for it.
Yeah. You know. Yeah. And not make her wrong.
Yeah, yeah, there's nothing wrong with not being ready for it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, she's been a TM meditator for years, and she has a meditation group, and
she's a spiritual woman.
She's definitely spiritual, but she's just, I want her to have this technology. I mean, to me, the course, the way the psychology is just the key to the kingdom, but not everybody's ready. Yeah. But what I feel is that for me personally, I need to stay connected to the course. I need to either listen to the audiobook or read it or read something related to it in order to keep it present. It can disappear pretty quickly.
I agree.
Especially if you're in a special relationship with someone.
That is such a good point.
And there's like all this other feeling, bodily stuff going on
because
at the same
time.
Because
it's the ego. It's like the ego overrides it, unless you intentionally say, I'm going to go back to the course today. I'm going to make sure I read my lesson. I'm going to focus on this.
Yeah.
Because it's very easy to kind of get distracted into ego, relationship, work stuff that isn't real.
I was reading Tara Singh's book a little bit. Let me see if I can find the cover page. He was the guy who was talking about the situation, and he had studied the course from 1976 on. It's called A Gift for All Mankind, Discovering A Course in Miracles, Second Edition. And it's talking about studying the course. And he was talking about, you know, being kind to yourself and being gentle, and that we need to create space in our life, and that there is a gap. So I thought it was interesting that his book is talking about a gap right when I'm hearing about it also in the text, and that in the gap, the mind frequency, when you are thinking angry, stressful thoughts, the gap is very short, but when you meditate, actually the gaps get a little bit longer so that spirit can come through. So then I think, oh, okay, you know, I really want to come up with some kind of meditation practice now that the seasons are changing and I'm finishing the lessons. I have about a week left of the lessons and I'll be done. Wow, that's huge for me.
It's huge.
It's taken me 2 years, but that's okay.
It hasn't been 2 years, has it?
Yeah. It, you know, like Thanksgiving-ish was when I had started. I feel like I am in a transition, and the oneness thing of thinking of everyone as whole and we're all together, and it's my dream. Like, some of those fundamental ideas are starting to kind of come back in to my thought system. Like, I am the light.
I wish somebody could implant a chip into my brain and it would force me to be conscious all the time of this.
That's the thing, is that I feel when I'm connected to the source, when I'm doing something actively every day, several times throughout the day, then it's there for me. But when I'm on vacation and I'm like driving all around the countryside doing other things, it's not there because my routine's different.
Well, I was explaining to you a couple of days ago that I was in a grocery store parking lot, and I don't know what happened to me, but it's like I flipped to some crazy woman because people wouldn't let me out of my parking slot because they were busy, you know, finding their own parking or whatever. And I just got so angry, and I was like screaming at them. And it took me a while to go, like, what are you doing? You'll get home. Is this really that big of an issue? But it's funny how my ego just immediately went from 0 to 60 on, like, aggravation, you know? And I think that the car, everybody's had those instances where they're in their car screaming at another motorist.
Every you know what morning, I mean?
It's kind of like it's a safe place because nobody's going to do anything. They can't hear you.
Right.
It's like you feel like you're, I don't know, you have permission to be a little crazy.
I'm usually like, what the heck are you doing? Right. Wake up.
Isn't that funny? Like, we'll scream at people like, you're an idiot.
Get off your freaking phone. Stop texting.
That's a big one, actually.
Yeah.
But the reality is, if I just waited another minute or two, it would have been fine. It's like, I wanted them to move out of my way at the moment I wanted it.
Okay, so here's the thing. This is something that I've been present to, is that the ego is constantly making us stressed out. I mean, it's constantly coming up with a whole other story. And if there's a way that I could tell my own story, my story aligned with Holy Spirit, Jesus, versus the ego, it would be a different experience. Mm-hmm. Like, why does every experience in my life have to be so charged with this, I've got to get it done, because if I don't get it done, then I'm not going to get it done, and there's going to be a ripple effect. Or if I don't get this done, then someone else is going to cut in front of me, and so then my whole life is upset, and now I got to reprogram when I'm going to get this task done. It's just this constant craziness.
We're similar in the sense that we are task-oriented, we're goal-oriented, and we want to get from point A to point B as efficiently as possible. My thing is, I go through these kind of waves of being, I don't know, manic in terms of getting stuff done, like being very, I don't know, judicious and efficient with my time. And then I'll have this lull time where I don't do anything. I'll just sit and watch TV. I'm motivated to get a lot of things done right now, like seriously motivated. But I'm interested to see how this plays out, because it's now kind of seeping into, like, physically, the other day I worked from home, and what did I do? I got up at 5:45 and I walked for 8 miles before I even started my workday. It's like I get to these points where it's like, I got stuff to do and I got to get it done.
Wow.
I recognize the fact that that's my ego. That's my ego. But on those times when I'm just kind of like sitting around not doing much, that's also my ego.
Right.
You know?
They're both extremes, aren't they?
Yeah.
Like, one is super high intense and one is just like ultimately unplugged.
But I also recognize the fact that this is a dream. So even though I'm getting stuff done, quote unquote, it's just a dream. I'm not really doing anything.
Right.
You know, I'm actually with God right now.
Right.
But I'm dreaming this messed up dream where I'm getting all this stuff done, like a little, I don't know, crazy butterfly or something that just flits around and does stuff.
I can relate to that.
It's like, it's not really real, but in my little ego mind, it is. And then I think to myself, look how great I did today. I did all the stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm giving myself a pat on the back for stuff that didn't matter. But you and I are similar, that we're people who like to accomplish things. We like to say, yes, we did that. And now we can move on to something else. It's very easy for the ego to like keep coming up with something else.
Right. I mean, whether it's the laundry or the chiropractor or the, you know, the garden, there's always something going on.
Exactly. You're more scheduled, I think, than I am. But I tend to feel like I'm a success that day if I get stuff done. And I'm not a success if I just sit around and watch TV all day. But the reality is, neither one of them exists.
Okay, so this is what Tara Singh says. He says, be very loving to yourself. Rest well, eat well. Don't put yourself in the second place. Insist upon the right food, and don't get too busy with errands. They are unending. They'll go on even when you're no longer here.
Wow, so true.
Something in the text I was hearing this week was that when we feel stressed, it has to do with the ego. Like, the ego, when it feels threatened, creates stress in our life. So I think, in a way, because we are heightened with this technology that we're practicing, that the ego is still kind of combating us, trying to hold on with as equal force. And there is kind of a quirky 50-50 balance here of I'm high and lovely half the time and I'm crazy and possessed the other half of the time.
Yeah, and because of that dichotomy, I kind of feel like I'm maybe mentally ill. You know what I mean?
We are mentally ill.
We're mentally ill.
This is the mentally ill people in our life. It's so disconcerting for me. Yeah. So I don't know what to do. I mean, the other night I just took my Jesus picture and I just stared at it because I didn't know what else to do in the moment. And I knew I was upset and I was disconnected, but I felt like I needed to do something and that was all I could do.
There are times when I'm just so, I don't know, down on myself or whatever. And I will think to myself, Jesus, I need you right now. It is comforting, but there is that whole perception of Jesus being this religious figure that it sort of stops me every once in a while. Like, that just sounded ridiculous.
I feel like my whole relationship to Jesus has shifted. I used to tease people.
Me too.
But not anymore.
Like Jesus. So I had a boyfriend. He is passed. He passed a few years ago. But I remember kind of really giving him the riot act because he was very into the Bible and Jesus in a way that I thought was just so ridiculous. And now I wish I could have that moment back to say, you know, I'm really sorry. You had every right to feel that way. Now I get it. I got very judgmental on the Bible part of it. But
right.
That's my issue. That wasn't his issue.
Yeah.
That was my thing.
Like his relationship with Jesus, we were judging as being some kind
of
crazy.
And he can have whatever relationship he wants with Jesus. Who am I to say it's wrong?
Right. So oh, right. That's a hard one.
I think, oh, I can't believe I did that. But I know he forgives me and I forgive me. So
yeah, that's true. Especially when we're all one. We're just part of the crazy mind.
I still talk to him. I'm like, hey, what's up?
like, that's good.
You know, sometimes he's just hanging out. Then in my mind, I feel like he's kind of gone on to other things and other experiences and good for him. And I was just lucky that our paths like intersected at that moment in time.
For sure. They were meant to, weren't they?
Yeah, absolutely.
I saw Through the Wormhole on the airplane about time, and that was kind of interesting.
I find science tends to corroborate what philosophy and, you know, esoteric beliefs like the Course have been saying for a while.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like science is a little behind, but it eventually catches up, which I love. But I also think it's funny when I'm around people like my special relationship who's very much into science. Science is all that matters. And then I'll say, well, you know, scientists have come out with this. And he just looks at me like, what are you talking about? It's like, well, science is now backing up what I've been saying for a while.
He's like, but where did you read that from? It's not from the same science book I read from.
That's not what I heard.
Right.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
And then it's like, ah, we're all one. We're all from the same mind.
Well, and from a perception of my special relationship, I also can't really talk about this to him. Nothing against him. I think he's a great guy. It's just we're in different places with that. And I'm having challenges finding the lexicon, the language to discuss it with him because he's not really open to spirituality in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
Have you been able to talk about this to your special relationship?
I have definitely tried. I've given him DU and the Course and the Course on Audio. And
wow, you really did your best.
Just like I have with all my special relationships. Mm-hmm. And none of them have ventured in. So, you know, whatever. But I think it's partly about who I'm being. Because I was just really light. I was just no expectation, no idea of where it was going to go, and just being in the now.
So this is your special relationship that you met up with while you were in New York last weekend.
I would say he is the love of my life. It's pretty...
You've known him for a long time.
Yeah.
You have thought about him for many, many years. I can attest to that.
Yeah. It's weird how euphoric it can turn so quickly. It's interesting how the ego works.
The love of your life is a special relationship, not a holy one.
Exactly. And so I ask myself, you know, like when I'm with him, could this ever become a holy relationship? Because I have this idea of whoever I will end up with will be into the Course.
Agreed.
And this guy's not. And he's like the only one I would ever consider to be with who's not. only because I think he'll eventually get there. Mm-hmm. I mean, he does not think of relationships in a normal way, which is one reason why we're not together. But he does talk about the mind, and I don't know.
It's funny. These special relationships suck us in. They really do. I mean, who among us haven't had one? You know? I mean, they're everywhere. It's so rare to find a holy relationship. But I agree with you. My perception of a holy relationship is one where the guy is very much into the course and we can grow together spiritually.
At least understand the same kind of point of view that we have.
Yeah, absolutely.
And be practicing it.
Like, I just think it would be such a lottery win to me to find somebody
who it would be.
Is so lovely and
it almost is seems into impossible.
It does. It seems like you can win the lottery easier than finding somebody who you mesh with that's a course student.
It would be so easy to get sucked into the euphoria and I would not do the course or think of the course, like it wouldn't go away, but it is a drug. It feels like a drug. Like there is a whole different space that isn't in the normal time space continuum that happens when you're in that moment with that other person that isn't real, of course, but
it feels so good. And I think that's one of the reasons why we're lured by that.
Yeah, how the ego can use a body to take you off track.
Yeah,
that's what I was present to, which is like, whoa.
But imagine how awesome it would be if your special relationship was in the course.
Yeah.
Like, that would be so great, you know?
Then I'd feel like, oh, yeah, this is the last one.
Right, and you can have more meaningful conversations and experiences together because it's a deeper connection. Mm-hmm. It's out of the physical, and then it's, you know, more into the spiritual.
Yeah.
Well, I hope for both of us we can find that.
That would be nice. Oneness rules.
Oneness rules, exactly. All right, listeners, it's been a pleasure coming back to you on the episode. It's been a pleasure coming back to you for the podcast number 38 of The Course of Course. We will be back in a couple weeks for episode 39. Around that time will be Thanksgiving, and we have a lot to be thankful for, I think. Can't wait to bring you that podcast. And in the meantime, have a great 2 weeks.
And let's think about what we're grateful for.
Agreed. Thank you, everyone. Good night.